It is another Saturday morning on CCO when we talk wines, among other things, with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Daddy. How are you on this fine, well, kind of gray day in Minnesota?
Yeah, it is. It's anybody's guess. I'm looking at the forecast, and I thought, well, it's kind of a mixed bag, but that's okay. It's March is kind of going out like a lion, in a way, kind of a whimpering lion. But we'll get through it and get ready for a nice rest of the spring. But what's on your mind today, Ted?
Well, actually, you know, in the last couple of weeks, everybody has been kind of knocking on the door and asking questions about kind of the state of the wine economy and state of the alcohol industry, kind of abroad and what's going on. And there's so many questions, much like our weather. There's so much uncertainty. You don't know whether to pack an umbrella or a snowmobile suit right now. And it's kind of the same, I'd say, in the wine industry. There's a lot of changing winds, a lot of different things going on. And a lot of just uncertainty. I mean, you look around, there's certain factors where I reckon they're called the Gen Z folks don't consume as much alcohol as, let's say, the boomers do, or definitely Generation X. So it's kind of a head scratcher to find out which directions those are going. You have certain things being involved, and I forget what department federally was recently saying that, you know, wine consumption causes cancer, and they might want to have that put on the label. So people are wondering what's going on with that. You know, and then you have the things of tariffs and all that kind of stuff. And it is an industry and a situation currently that I really haven't seen in all my time, at least all combined into one. You know, usually you had a demographic switch or, you know, tariffs, things like that, that came down the pipeline, but it would just be that one particular concern, and it kind of made you scratch your head. You could deal with it head on, where now there's so many different factors kind of getting into the alcohol industry that it's sort of, it's a little suspect. It kind of makes you wonder, and maybe it keeps you up at night. You know, there's all kinds of kind of doom and gloom information, I hate to say, because if you look at the top 16 alcohol or publicly traded companies across the world, five of which are only flat for the year as far as sales are concerned, and flat defined even being at like -2% in sales, which is kind of questionable. But then there's another six of those 16 that are actually down, and three of those six are actually down 2 years in a row. So it's a little, again, concerning, where you're wondering what exactly is going on. You know, you wonder, are some of those outfits charging a little bit too much? Are they working on, you know, different things? Or did they get so big and gobbled up so many other companies that it's just time where they can't swell? We are kind of suffering, in a sense, still from a bit of a no pun intended, the COVID hangover. You know, so many people were at home. They didn't have to go to work, so maybe they're imbibing on beverages from, you know, the beginning of the day all day long. So there is a little bit of rescind that you should see in that, but some of it's a little bit questionable. Even on a local market, I hate to be a little bit of a doom and gloomer, you are seeing some bad things as far as some of the local breweries. I believe it was a Dangerous Man just closed. There's some distilleries that closed. So, you know, part of it is, I think the market expanded so much in the last 6 or 7 years on multiple levels, not only national, but here locally with all the different breweries that popped up, all the different distilleries. So maybe there is a point where there needs to be some attrition just to keep the industry healthy as well. You know, also, and our friends out in California are witnessing a bit of a wine glut as well in Napa Valley. And maybe part of it is, you know, the prices, not especially of the land, at almost $1 million an acre. People ran out there. They made their fortune in other parts of the country, thought it would be just terrific to go to California, especially Napa, build this winery from scratch, or buy a winery from scratch, or buy a winery that's existing and you buy the dirt, and how romantic it is to sit and watch all of your, all the fruits of your lawyers working. But, you know, quite frankly, you know, some of those guys at $1 million an acre really have to sell a lot of wine to kind of pay that mortgage nugget off. And so you're seeing a bit of a wine glut because so much wine was being produced in California and all that. And then another level that's a little bit confusing is the tariffs that everybody is asking and knocking on the door. Well, what about tariffs? Now, tariffs, you know, it's a tax that will hit certain goods when they come across our border. We've seen it before. We're sort of prepared for it. But, you know, the tariff side of things, you know, there's a threat of a 200% tariff on all products, especially alcohol, from the European Union. The only good news is they punted that down to, I believe it's around April 24th, in which they'll kind of address that situation. And whether it happens or not, you know, it is left to be seen. Now, old Rumpelstiltskin is known to kind of scare everybody that way, and then all of a sudden it goes away. We're used to it in a sense because years ago, when he was last in office, he had that Boeing trade war with Airbus, in which they kind of taxed and tariffed specific areas of the industry, whether it's Irish whiskey, champagnes, whatnot. Some of the other wines qualified, some of it didn't, and it was kind of a rough storm to kind of go to. But you know, there's ways to figure that out in a ways to a little bit end around. In the last salvo of tariffs, I hate to say, our sneaky French friends were very smart and read the fine print and realized any wine under 13% wasn't tariffed. So all of a sudden their wine levels went down to about 12.5, so they could avoid all those tariffs. So there are ways around it, and we are also prepared for it. You know, so with that, we are prepared for it, you know, because I guess being a little crafty and a little bit shifty and not being my first rodeo, most of my imported wines have already crossed the water and have arrived here in Minnesota. So we're ready to sell and to take care of the Minnesotans on all kinds of different levels, whether it is just some nice red wines, some Italian wines, the French wines especially. We are loaded for bear to take care of that. A particular sparkler, a lot of people were asking me, they are nervous about that sparkling tariff tax that was coming down. And, oh, should I switch over and start drinking domestic sparkling wine? And I, you know, you can. That's not a problem. But you know what? You don't have to because, again, we were ahead of the curve. And I brought in a brand new sparkler. It's your Cremant de Bourgogne, which means it's a sparkling wine from the Burgundy Valley. We've talked about how the French love to kind of protect their word, champagne and champenois, and it's a Cremant de Bourgogne. It goes through the traditional method, which is water, or the wine gets, you know, your grape juice converts with the sugars into an alcohol wine, and then they add sugars and yeast inside the bottle, in which then it creates the gas. And it's called Morgion, and it's a great Cremant de Bourgogne. So if you're worried about jumping over or worried about those tariffs, we got that in there. He is even a rosé, which is dominated by the Pinot Noir grape. And it's such a great little trick. They're a wonderful wine, and it's very, very approachable, very, very affordable. You don't have to break the bank. Right now we have it on BOGO. And so what we did at Hastel's is we took advantage of all those wine, the wine glut that you see in and around California and all that. And we've been buying up certain wineries that are a little bit distressed, taking advantage of it and bringing it all here. So we talk about our BOGO program, and I just will have to do a quick shout out, Denny, to my younger brother, Bo. Bo knows BOGOs, and then today is Bo's birthday. So with Bo's birthday, we'll have to talk about BOGOs.
I just want to let you know, and I sent, it was at 5:15 this morning, I sent Bo a birthday greeting. I'm sure he was wide awake and just ready to read that.
I'm sure he was. Well, he's also in Florida, so he's an hour ahead. So I bet you he did it. He has two young, active boys that probably woke him up right in the morning being on holiday to race down to the beach or something. So he's much appreciated on that. And so in honor of Bo's birthday, we'll talk about BOGOs. And again, we have a wide, wide range of BOGOs, whether it's a little Portuguese one called Lisbonita that's about $20 BOGO, average cost $10. It's great. But we also have, for the wine collectors taking advantage of some of that type of stuff, there's a famous winery called Miner, and they have this Hootenanny Pinot Noir that's just delicious. It's about $79 Second one's free, so it's about $40 average cost, but you're really taking advantage of that kind of wine glut that's out in California, without a doubt. There's several other ones that are so delicious and so fun. We just got in a brand new one called Headline, and that's a Napa Valley Cab, or sorry, Alexander Valley Cab. Wonderful one at about $40 BOGO, and just approachable wine, and you're getting all that great Napa Valley juice. Very fruit forward, big robust wines, just delicious. But you know, you don't have to go total California. We also have things like the Forelli Prosecco, and that's a fond one of mine that I love to tout because it's our little joint venture with Stefano Girelli and the Farrell family. But they make a wonderful Prosecco that's on our BOGO program. And we have hundreds of BOGOs to choose from. But the great thing about it is there is a wide range of BOGOs to take care of. So there's, you know, whatever your fancy is, whether it's even a little domestic Pinot Noir like a Lockwood, that's on the program. And so we're really trying to take advantage of what's going on in the markets and really do some smart shopping, some smart buying to bring it back here to Minnesota and take care of everybody. Because, you know, again, these tariffs that are coming up can affect the bottom line. And a lot of smaller wholesalers currently are kind of sitting on their hands, worried about that as far as when they should place the order, when they shouldn't. I have a container of wine coming from Burgundy right now that I sneakily avoided the tariffs. It should hit portside April 7th, and those tariffs will be readdressed on the 24th or so. So we'll have even more wines to sell, avoiding those tariffs and all that. But like I said, you know, the good news is I think we should be positive. There's some great values out there. You know, some of it is a little bit of politicking, you know, chest waving. The fella that said that cancer, you know, wine can cause cancer, and not to get into the political realm, but he was appointed, and his belief stepping into that particular office, he was a prohibitionist. He did not think alcohol is good for anybody, anywhere, any shape, anyhow. So he extracted certain parts of that survey to say that. And there's several other surveys out there that say and just show the wonderful health benefits of wine. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that we get dragged in the politics of things being an industry that maybe shouldn't be. But we are an industry that has two amendments written about it. Also, you remember your history. We had the whiskey rebellion as well. So it's interwoven a little politic and alcohol. But, you know, we're going to get through it. We have a lot of great values. We have a lot of fun things to come in. So if you're worried all that, you know, swing on into a Haskell's and we'll take care of you.
And you personally, and certainly Haskell's in its lengthy time here in what we lovingly call CCO land, you guys have weathered a lot of storms, and this is just going to be another one that will pass, I'm sure. Ted, folks that want to pick up some great ideas you always bring us, tell us about how many locations we can find all these good things.
Well, we have 10 metro locations to take care of all your needs and avoid the tariffs and really help your pocketbook out by taking care of some of those BOGOs. Because Bo knows BOGOs, that's for sure. And there's a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in Highland Village. Haskell's down in Lowman's Plaza in Bloomington. Haskell's in right in downtown Excelsior. We also have a Haskell's in White Bear Lake. If you want to go a little further east, stop by our Haskell's in Stillwater. If you're headed down south, go to Haskell's Faribault right off of 35. Or if you're on your way up north, you can either stop by Plymouth right off of 494 or a Haskell's right in Maple Grove, our super cellar. And if you can't do any of that today because you're a little doom and gloom, hop on Haskell's.com 24/7 and we can sell you those BOGOs, take care of it, and avoid all this political nonsense.
Absolutely. And in the words of Frank Sinatra to Bo's birthday today, more or less he said, "May you live to be 150. And may the last voice you hear be mine." Happy birthday, Bo. And Ted, let's do this again next week.
I look forward to it, Denny.
Thanks so much. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Now, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Julie Weisenhorn is going to be joining us next hour on our Smart Garden Show. In the meantime, we're going to be getting some precipitation. There's a chance of rain today in the Twin Cities. Our high is going to be about 44. Rain overnight, possibly mixed with snow and sleet even. We'll fill you in more details for your Sunday tomorrow. Yeah. Rain and snow, freezing rain and sleet will get up to about 34 or so. Right now in the Twin Cities, our CCO temperature reading 35.